Right, before we go into the actual Bible study, if I go into the news that's been happening over this past week and within the newspapers over here, you'd think, looking at the newspapers, that the only thing that has been happening in the world has been the government's confrontation with the BBC. And David Kelly, who was a weapons expert, weapons of mass destruction expert, who committed suicide apparently, although there are certain suspicious circumstances regarding that. And then Mr. Lord Hutton, who was given the task of actually doing an inquiry into, or conducting an inquiry into the affair, completely vindicated all the government and completely put the blame onto the BBC. And in the paper this morning, the headline is Hutton or Whitewash says that 56%. So they've obviously done a survey, and 56% of people believe that it's just been a whitewash. And certainly looking at it, you do wonder. It says the BBC was plunged into the biggest crisis in its history last night when Gavin Davis quit as the chairman of the governors. Lord Hutton said that the BBC central allegations that the government inserted intelligence into its dossier on Iraqi weapons of mass destruction, probably knowing it to be wrong and had ordered the dossier to be sexed up, were unfounded. And on it goes, and it's going backwards and forwards. And the problem is, you just simply do not know. You do not know what is truth. You do not know what is error. You do not know what is lies, because people lie, and there's half-truth, and the entire fabrication of our society is based on lies. And this really is a problem. If you notice over, let's just look at a couple of scriptures on this score. Isaiah 59 is the classic one, Isaiah 59. But in Isaiah 59, it talks about the Eternal's hand isn't shortened, but our iniquities have separated between you and your God. In the beginning of the chapter, they hatch cockatrice's eggs and weave the spider's web. It says their web shall not become garments, their feet run, it's verse 7, their feet run to the evil, they make haste to shed innocent blood, and their thoughts are the thoughts of iniquity and wasting and destruction in their paths. And the way of peace, they don't know. It is a way of peace, and it is a way of peace that we also must adhere to. And it goes on, verse 10, we grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we hadn't got eyes. We roar like bears and mourn like doves, for our transgressions are multiplied before you, in verse 12. Our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us, and our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Eternal, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backwards. And you see that continually within our nation, within government today. Judgment is turned away backwards. This is down in verse 14 now. Justice stands afar off, and we don't have it. We need to make sure we're aware that when we will be dragged before the courts, don't look upon it as looking for that as our justice. We look to God, who is the one, the God of justice, and he will in fact intervene on our behalf. And it says, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yes, truth it fails, and he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. He's accounted mad, as my margin says. So again, if we speak against evil, which we should, and depart from evil, then we will in fact be accounted mad. And the Eternal saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. He can see what was actually going on. Another scripture, turn over to Psalm 14. Psalm 14. I just wonder whether you've actually seen this one, because this has something to say to you and to me in Psalm 14. And this is the heart and core of the problem within government departments, within the rulers of this world. And we are going to see this progressively more as time goes on. But in Psalm 14 it says, the fool says in his heart that there is no God. That's the problem. That's where it's coming from. Now, whether they say in their heart there is no God by just carrying on as if there isn't one, or whether they literally are agnostic or atheist, this is where it comes from. They're corrupt. They've done abominable works. There's none that does good. The Eternal looked down from the heaven upon the children of man to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They're all gone aside. They've all together become filthy. There's none that does good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people, that eat bread and call not upon the Eternal? There were they in great fear, for God is the generation of the righteous. You have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Eternal is his refuge. Now what I want you to notice is verse 7. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. That's where the salvation. Salvation means rescue. The rescue of Israel is going to come out of Zion. It's going to be Jesus Christ. But he's going to come with his saints, with his church, with Zion. The church to whom Christ will return needs to be ready. And we need to be ready for that event. Oh, that the salvation, the rescue of Israel was come out of Zion. When the Eternal brings back the captivity of his people, then Jacob shall rejoice and Israel will be glad. And that's what we've got to keep our minds firmly focused on. The fact that a time is coming when Israel will in fact be glad, when there will be justice in the streets, when it's not going to be the chaos that we see today. And it really does depend on you and me getting our act together and making sure that we are walking in the right way. Now, other things have been going on, just a few items which relate to Europe, the three items here. One is associated with Europe. I've mentioned before about the Georgian leader, or Georgia, and how that is quite a crucial area of the world. Georgia, the strategically important state in the Caucasus that both Russia and America are keen to influence, swore in its new president yesterday with the senior representatives of Moscow and Washington looking on. So it is a crucial area. There's oil in that area. It's coming out through Turkey. It goes through this area as far as the pipeline is concerned. Mikhail Saakashvili, I think it is, Saakashvili, a US educated lawyer, was inaugurated on the steps of the Parliament building that he and his supporters stormed 2 months ago to force the resignation of the veteran president predecessor, Edward Shevardnadze. Saakashvili, 36, now Europe's youngest head of state, promised to drag the former Soviet Republic out of the mire of poverty and corruption. So it's basically the headline just says Rose Revolution Booms for New Georgian Leader. And it's interesting as well that right up there with them, right beside the fire, the family, the head of the Georgian Orthodox Church in the Tbilisi ceremony next to his wife Sandra and son Edward. So you're looking at the church again involved in that area. And we need to be aware that that is prophesied, that there is going to be a religious overtones in all that is going to be happening within Europe. Now we're looking also that another article says the French anti-Semitism drives more Jews to settle in Israel. This is another one from this past week. It says growing anti-Semitism in France has prompted a big rise in the number of French Jews that are emigrating to Israel. Figures released in Israel yesterday showed that 2,380 moved last year and 2,556 the year before. In the 1990s, only about 800 French Jews emigrated to Israel each year. And the majority comprised people between 16 and 25 who go on to study or do military service in Israel and never return to France. And talked about the families leaving and so on. But there is an growing anti-Semitism within France. And again, it's something we need to be watching, we need to be aware of, and it is something that will have an effect on God's church as well as time goes on. Another thing that we need to be aware of, that it says Germany gives up the dream of a federal Europe. Now, we need to be aware that this is actually being mentioned in the press. The fact that that it's mentioned doesn't mean to say that it's not looking towards that. It's not the way that Europe is going is towards federalism. The actual laws being laid down are towards federalism, but it says that it's going to be partly strong and partly broken. It's not going to be completely federalist. It's going to be a mishmash. And here we have this one of Germany giving up the dream of federal Europe. Jörg Fischer, the German foreign minister, has made a dramatic attempt to improve relations with Britain by indicating his willingness to abandon the push for a full European government. So it wasn't a case of actual, you know, that's the headline, giving up his dream. But it says, speaking to the Daily Telegraph today, in his first interview with a British newspaper since the Iraq War, he appeared to accept that his federalistic dreams are now unrealistic. And he says that while EU institutions must be made more effective, a community of 25 will work best when resting on strong member states. Well, eventually we're looking at a grouping of 10. And these 10, whatever those 10 are going to be, how the actual division is going to be, we don't know. But that is what we're looking for. It says, Mr. Fischer gave an assurance that Europe will not become a superstate. Nobody has an interest in European superstate in the way it's described by Eurosceptics, especially in the United Kingdom. He said, Mr. Fischer's comments, including reassurances that Europe's defence policy will not lead to the creation of an EU army or compromise NATO, will also reassure the Americans who feared that the France and Germany might use their EU ambitions to set up a rival power to the US. You see, that is not the way it's going to be. What's going to happen is something is going to trigger it. There is some kind of cataclysm that is going to trigger what we are looking for. It is not going to be something that slowly, actually, everything gets laid into place. Something is going to cause this to be. If you turn over to Isaiah chapter 10, in Isaiah 10, it says, Assyria, the rod of my anger, in verse 5, the staff in their hand is my indignation. Notice, it's God's indignation. It's not that they're out to go ahead and get America or get Britain. It says, I'll send him against a hypocritical nation. Against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil and take the prey, shred them down like mire in the streets. Howbeit, he doesn't mean so. Neither does his heart think so. But it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, not a few. So we are looking at a time when, at the moment, they do not have these... There are certainly some people that have these federalist ambitions, but it is not all heading in that direction. It's going to be partly strong and partly broken. And something, whatever that something may be, we do not know, but something is going to trigger what God gives us as the end time scenario. And we can look at the various prophecies, we can see what is going on in the world, and we've got to keep our eyes open as to what that is actually going to be. We don't know what it's going to be. Terrorism is muted. You look at the caldera in Yellowstone, you can look at sudden famine. We don't know what it's going to be. Whatever is going to actually occur, the indication is it's going to be very, very sudden. It's going to be very swift. And all the time, when you're looking at society, you see the society going down generally. Marriage is being destroyed. I know that we went to, I mentioned about going and doing this caravan earlier on, for my daughter, but the place that we went there, there is a girl and her boyfriend living together, and she's expecting their child, and she has three other children. I'm not sure, there's certainly one, but there's one different father, probably whether there are three different fathers, I don't know, but it is absolute chaos. The society is in chaos. There is not the unit, the family unit is being eroded, is being destroyed. And we see the actual pressure on the family unit is very great. There's an article here that says, weddings fall to a record low as couples cohabit. It says, the number of marriages in Britain has fallen to fewer than 300,000 a year, the lowest level since records began more than 50 years ago. Now, the population has increased enormously over that time, and yet the number of marriages is at the lowest. There were 286,000 weddings in 2001 compared with 408,000 in 1950, according to the figures issued yesterday from the Office of National Statistics. With more couples choosing to live together without marrying, the trend has been downward since 72, when the figure peaked at 480,000. So we're looking at that generally taking place. And what in fact is happening, we turn over to Jeremiah, let's have a look, God actually, Christ is the God of the Old Testament, draws a parallel here between what's happening within our families, within our marriages, within that union, and what's happening with him. It says in verse 7, "How shall I pardon you for this? Your children have forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods. When I fed them to the full, they then committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlot houses." Now he's looking at, again, the ancient Israel, when you had the harlot houses, they were many times linked to pagan religions. And it's both is being looked at here. But it says here in verse 8, "They were as fed horses in the morning, everyone neighing after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit for these things, says the Eternal? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this?" And we look within our society and we find this continually. This is something that is going on continually. There is the actual fidelity within marriage is being eroded and destroyed. In addition to that, adding on to that, you've also got the fact that certain modern techniques, medical techniques, allow things that would never been even dreamt of before. There's an article here in this from yesterday. It says a woman gives birth to her grandchildren. It says the IVF procedure allowed a 43-year-old grandmother to carry her daughter and son-in-law's twin babies after the couple's four-year search failed to find a surrogate. So again, I mean, I'm not going to criticise this particular woman that wanted to do that, but I want you to notice that this is literally impossible years ago. It says a woman aged 43 has given birth to her own grandchildren after lending out her womb to her daughter and her son-in-law. The founder of the group, Comment on the Reproductive Ethics, said that the case had some very uncomfortable aspects. The major issue is the confusion about social roles, and that a grandmother and a mother have got very distinct roles, she said. We should always be looking at what is the ideal situation, and what is not ideal is for a grandmother to give birth to her grandchildren. So it is this confusion that is there. And I mean, I'm not sure saying that this particular couple that had problems actually conceiving, I don't know why, I've no idea, but I do know this, that the reason why the society in general is having trouble conceiving is often because of immorality. You know, you have multiple partners and you therefore have difficulty in these areas, and there seems to be something that God has actually built in there. Now in the environment side, one thing that we need to keep our eye on is the fact that, this article here says, bird flu ravages the poultry stocks in Indonesia. Indonesia admitted yesterday that the outbreak of bird flu sweeping Southeast Asia has killed millions of its poultry. An agricultural ministry official said, avian influenza, which has claimed 6 human lives in Vietnam, has spread to chickens across most parts of the country. And this is, I mean, at the moment, the bird flu, the only way a human can catch it is to go into the house where the bird is and breathe in the flu virus in the air from the birds. But what they're looking for, what they realize, is that this can then, how it actually does it, I don't know, but this can actually combine with a human form of influenza, produce a new kind of virus. And remember, viruses are not bacteria, they're not living as such. They're almost like a glorified crystal. They're a very sophisticated crystal, but almost like a glorified crystal. And if you get two of these crystals or two of these viruses and they combine together, and a new one then comes out of the resulting, a new one results. And again, remember, viruses can't reproduce themselves. It's impossible. they actually reproduce by using the cell's DNA. They don't have the ability to reproduce. You know, you can't get a petri dish and grow a virus as such, I don't believe. You've got to have other cells there for them to actually grow in. If you have a petri dish, you've got to have cells in there for them to actually be reproducing. But this bird flu is ravaging the poultry stocks in that area of the world, and this danger exists at the moment that it could in fact jump across into the human strain. It could go across to pigs. There's talk about it going across to pigs. There's an article, I think it was in the actual news, was it? They were digging up bodies, or was it on the radio? It was on the news. But they're actually digging up bodies from the last flu outbreak to try and get some kind of vaccine against this. And that is incredibly dangerous. Now, I know they've done it over in Finland or somewhere. They did it, or they were hoping to do it, to try and isolate the previous flu virus. But again, there's always a risk it can get out from there. And that virus killed millions, multiple millions. In fact, was it more than was killed in the First World War? There was more killed with that flu virus than in the entirety of the First World War. And there were millions killed in the First World War. So again, we are poised for a pandemic in that area, and we need to be aware of it. We don't need to be frightened of it, but we do need to realize what it talks about in Revelation 6 about that fourth horse, and that in fact there are going to be millions killed in that way. And we are having millions killed at the moment through AIDS and so on, but there is going to be some problems. And at the same time, you see the environment being destroyed. Another article, pollution changes the sex of whales. Male whales, dolphins and seals are the latest animals to show signs of developing female sex organs as a result of pollution, scientists said yesterday. A wide range of marine life has already demonstrated hermaphroditic traits, from mollusks and fish to polar bear cubs. But it's now thought that more mammals are being similarly affected, placing populations and species in danger. So, you know, we are destroying the very fine biochemical balance within nature. A lot of this is actually coming from the female birth control pill. It's being flushed down toilets, flushed out into the rivers, and flushed out to sea. And this is having an effect. But there's more to it than that. There's also plastics, and there's various other chemicals, man-made chemicals, that are actually affecting the reproductive ability of these creatures. Another one, ecosystem is at risk as drug kills vultures by the million. Tens of millions of vultures have died after eating cattle carcasses contaminated with a common animal drug. The decline has pushed three species to the brink of extinction in India and Pakistan, with serious implications for the local ecosystem, saying scientists. Without vultures to feed off animal remains, wild dogs and other scavengers will move in, spreading diseases such as rabies. So again, the entire balance gets out of kilter. I was in front of my computer this last week, and a van pulled up outside, and you know, I watched him, and the chap got out and wandered around and looked down in the wood. About 10 minutes later, he got in his van, disappeared, came back again, got out, looked back in the wood. And I thought, what on earth's going on? I go over and see what's actually happening. I always feel a little bit twitchy. What's he looking for? Because we've got land on the other side of the road as well. And as I went across, another chap came out of the wood with his dogs, with the hounds. And they were after foxes. And they basically, this time of year, as we're coming into the early, coming into early spring, late winter, is the time the vixen's giving birth, the cubs, and they are going around trying to control this problem. And they had in the van, the hounds were basically in the van. And I said, how are you managing with all the legislation against hunting with hounds? He says, it just means more paperwork, because the control of foxes for farming purposes is still allowed. This is one thing that has got to be allowed. But he says, what's happening is they're attacking through the back door. What they're doing is they're trying to close down the hounds by stopping the fallen animals being consumed. Now, by stopping the fallen animals being consumed, there's no way you can keep a pack of hounds. You've got to have fallen animals to do that, and they're basically going to throttle them by doing that. It's again, this is devious subterfuge that is occurring. And he said, well, we tried other forms of feed, because, you know, your fallen animals, the people go around the farms here, and they collect the fallen animals in the back of the trucks. So what they'd done is they went and they tried to have chickens and fowl, and they started feeding them fallen fowl. And what they didn't, then a little bit later, because they'd been, you know, trying to find these alternative sources of food, the pups were having swayback, like almost like swayback in lambs, where the legs, back legs split, you know, kind of come apart, and they can't walk properly. And he said that they did not know what the problem was at all, but here they were having this terrible problem with all the litters of pups being born had this swayback. And he said, literally, you could put the legs apart and the back legs of this the pup, and it wouldn't know how to walk. It couldn't know that it had two back legs and trying to actually walk, and the back spine was being deformed. So he sent the bodies of these pups that died, obviously, up to a research place in Scotland to actually see what on earth was going on. And what it was the hormones being used in the poultry. The hormone pellets being used in the necks of the poultry were then, obviously, they'd eat the whole lot, and they were getting swayback. As I say, the whole creation groans in travail, and it really does. And there's just one example. I mean, that was literally this last week, talking to these hounds, and there were some problems with lambs being eaten by foxes. And he said, again, this problem with the foxes in this country is getting very serious. In one place, on the way down to Whitland, just from here as you go down to the main A40, there's a roundabout just as you go into Whitland. He said he went there, there's a bit of waste land, and he shot four foxes when he just arrived. And he said by the time he finished, he'd shot 20. In that one piece of wasteland, there were 20 he shot, and as many got away. And he says they are breeding in a phenomenal way, because they're living off the fast food and this kind of thing. And there is a real mounting problem that is coming, and we're looking at rabies that can break out here. They're going against the farming practices that have established for years, and we are heading for a real problem. So those are some of the bits and pieces that were in the news, and also some of the things that have happened this last week as far as the news is concerned.